Good morning. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Today's sermon text is taken from Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. And I had written up a little blurb, and it says, the accountability starts the hour we first believe upon Jesus Christ. What we do with that information we receive from God's Word, from the man behind the pulpit, the Holy Bible, the indwelling Spirit, and God's standards will guide us if you let them. He demands perfection from his children, yet offers forgiveness when we sin on the basis of the Son's blood. We can grow daily in his likeness, believing in faith, putting trust in Christ alone. One day, we will all give an account to the things we have done on this pilgrimage. As a true believer, our home is in heaven. As believers, we are working for rewards while we're on our Christian walk, and we will all reap what we sow. By grace that we have been saved through faith and not of ourselves. Nobody's going to walk into heaven doing a flip saying, I got in here on anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ. On our earthly walk, we want to stay in the margins of the Bible, of His holy word. We got a two-point message today. Our accountability is point one. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is a precious gift from God. And once we know the truth, this is an absolute truth in the Bible. What do we do with this as a Christian? I've heard this many a times before I actually gave my life to the Lord, and it didn't mean much. But what does it mean to me today? And we have to all take a look in the mirror. I'm not going to judge anybody, but once I accepted this fact, my whole life changed. And the Bible is a life changer. Scripture says, For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just and the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but alive in the Spirit. The Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit comes into us and dwells in us. And we get to grow through the Spirit as a Christian. That's our accountability. How do we act? How do we walk? Are we pleasing God? Are we grieving God? Are we grieving the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And this is to teach us. Jesus said, It is good for me to leave so he can give you the indwelling Holy Spirit that will teach us all things. He knew that on our own we couldn't really learn anything, so he knew that he was going to give us a teacher to teach us all things and bring us to remembrance. I guess he knew that we weren't too bright as human beings. This comes from the gospel. Therefore, whoever hears the saying of mine and does them will be like him to a man who builds his house on the rock. And this is the spiritual foundation. If we build, we go to church at a place called Firm Foundation. And we have to build our foundation as a Christian on the spiritual foundation of rock, on the solid word of God. Not something that's not in the Bible. It has to be clear in the Bible. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one receives his own rewards according to his own labor. I mean, that's pretty much self-explanatory. We're going to receive what rewards on what we've done in our Christian walk, on our pilgrimage. And it's not bragging. If we were on a baseball team, we would be a whole team. The only time that you get a merit is when you're behind the plate with a bat in your hand. And then you can get statistics. But God's not like that. You know, we're all Christians in this together. And what we're going to receive, we're going to give right back to him because he gave it to us. I learned this a long time ago. Even as a little kid, I often remember this, watching a Christian show, a claymation called David and Goliath, and, you know, everything is from God. Everything we get is from God, and the rewards that we get, we're going to give right back. It says we're going to put the crowns at Jesus' feet. If we're lucky enough or gracious enough to get rewards, we're going to give it right back to him. We want to hear, well, good done and faithful servant. I know that's what I want to hear. Psalms 143:10 says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. And he's guiding us. If you're a Christian, you're absolutely seeking this stuff. You're hearing this stuff. You want to be guided by the Spirit. The Spirit is good. There's nothing deceitful or wicked in the Spirit. There's nothing wicked and deceitful in Jesus Christ. He was perfect. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is the Christ of power. A non-Christian could never say that and believe it. I can say this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, and believe it, because he has carried me and taken me through some difficult times in my Christian walk, but I never blamed God, I never, why, you know, I trusted that there was a redemptive purpose, and other strong men in the church said that. There's a redemptive purpose for everything, and I believe this. But take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day comes on you unexpectedly. And throughout the Gospels it says, watch, for you do not know when the Master will appear. We have to always be ready. We have to be ready. Because we don't know when he's coming. And what will he find you doing? And I'm like, wow. What will he find me doing when he comes? This comes out of the Gospel. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. For everyone to whom much is given, for much will be required. And of whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more. We are accountable as Christians. I can remember when Pastor James and Susan came to my house and they were trying to peddle a mayor's courses off, and I'm going, my God, you want me to read my Bible? And, you know, now you want, I don't have any time, you know. I don't have enough time in a day now, and I don't watch hardly any TV, or if I do, I'm watching Les Feldick or Dr. David Jeremiah, somebody that's going to be profitable in my life. And I scraped away a lot of garbage in my life. And when I think I'm going to get cute and funny and watch something, and if it's not profitable, my TV turns blue or shuts off. And I'm like, okay, God, I get it. I'll go in my office and I'll study. I'll do something, you know, worthy. That's how it works for me. I don't know about anybody else. We're still in point one, our accountability. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is not going to just mess with us as a Christian. He's going to give us a way out. And if we don't belong in a bar, don't go in there. If we don't belong at a whoopee party or something, don't go there. Don't put yourself into a sticky situation. Don't have somebody in your car that's not supposed to be in there. My wife knows exactly where I am at all times. She has access to my phone. Unfortunately, they made me get a lock on my phone, and it was a thumbprint, but I also get a four-digit code. She has my code. There's nothing hidden. You know, we don't hide things on each other. An open book. God's not going to lead me into temptation. I'll do that fine all by myself. This comes from the gospel, but everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them, I got that underlined, not do them, will be like a foolish man who builds on house the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and how great was the fall. And it's neglecting our duties as Christians. We have to, and we read it previously, we have to build our foundation on rock, on Jesus Christ, His word alone. We cannot waver in our faith, in our walk, what we believe. If somebody says something and it doesn't make a lot of sense or it doesn't line up with the Bible, we can go, it sounds good, but it's not right. That's why it's very important to know the Bible and say, no, that's not in God's word. Once you compromise a little, it's very easy to just, everybody else is doing it. I was growing up and I would hear, hey, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you jump? And I would always be a smarty pants and say, well, how high is the bridge, you know? But we will all pay a price, is the bottom line. In our Christian walk, for every idle word we will give an account. That's frightening stuff. Don't think that God's sleeping at the wheel, because He's not. This comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted the inheritance, the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. And they're talking about Esau when he sold his birthright for the lentil of soup. And he wasn't really too interested in it, but then he wanted it, you know. It's his failure, a spiritual failure and a spiritual loss. We, as Christians, should not squander what was given to us, because it can be taken away. God gives and He takes it away as He sees fit. If you're not shining your gift, He could very easily take it away. Point two, the account to God. This comes from Acts 26:20. But declare first to those in Damascus, in Jerusalem, and throughout the regions of Judah, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. And this is good works. As Christians, we want to repent. We don't want to have a monkey on our back. We don't want to have the sins weighing us down, being out of communion with God. Turning to God is acknowledging that He's the one that's in control. And the works befitting repentance is what we should be doing in the first place. But it definitely pleases Him. This comes from the gospel. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And this is Jesus speaking. But he answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, you not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And there was five wise and there was five foolish. Five had the oil and five didn't. They wanted the five to give them some oil and they're like, hey, you better go get your own, you know. And it's a false profession of people that you got to be ready at all times. That's what it's telling me. You have to be constant vigilance. You have to be a prepared Christian, a prepared soldier for the Lord. It's fine to have a weapon, but if you have no bullets, you're in trouble. Unless you have a bayonet, but, you know, God wants us prepared. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. Brother Eric read the same verse last week and I said, I wonder if I should use it again, but yes, I did. Spiritual sanity, you know, I have to, my whole life as a Christian man, I have to, when I'm focused on Him, my life is going well. When I take my eye off of Him, things get chaotic real fast. And then I have to come back, sorry, Lord. When I first came here to church, I always thought that I wasn't good enough. Yeah, you're right, I'm not good enough. His blood covered my sins. Where do sinners go? This one guy at work said, oh, they're going to hell. That might be true if they don't repent. But sinners come to church. I hope to God that I never think that I'm better than anybody. All I am is another Christian man trying to do the will of the Heavenly Father and to not grieve the Spirit. That's what it's all about. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their father. A person shall be put to death for their own sins. I can't blame my childhood from my father. I can't blame this, I can't blame that. I can't do the blame game. It's all about each one will bear his own load. As a Christian, take responsibility for you. And if you're put to death for your own sins, and obviously you didn't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ezekiel 18, verse 4 says, Behold, all souls are mine, the souls of the fathers as well as the souls of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Divine ownership. God owns us. He doesn't want any to perish. According to the scriptures, He wants us all to come to repentance. And as a Christian, it's our job and it's our duty to let people know the truth. You will get opposition, you will get rejection, people won't like you. I have family members that think that I lost my mind, but I don't care. I don't care. I'm doing God's bidding today. It's all about Him. It's all about praising Him, worshiping Him, glorifying Him, and telling the people the truth. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And I touched on this a little earlier. But God is the judge. He puts down one and He exalts another. That comes from the Psalms. And He can do whatever He wants. He made Pharaoh to show people what his power can do. He is out of the box of space and time, and we have a very limited mind as human beings. We can't even fathom or comprehend his ways, nor can we understand them from what the Bible says. In one day we will be schooled by our master. Literally, we will be schooled by him. Proverbs 1, verse 24, chapter 1, verse 24 says, "Because I have called you and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded." That's rejecting God, and you will pay a price for that one day. We need to have respect for what we've been entrusted with. We have to keep moving forward. We can't retreat. There's no retreating in Christianity. We have a book that will guide us. The Holy Spirit will give us the words when we don't know what to say, or when we're afraid to say something. Something good will come out of it. We're still in the second point. This comes from the Gospel, Matthew chapter 13, verse 30. "Let both go together until the harvest, and at that time of harvest I will say to the reaper, first gather together the tares and bind them, and bundle them and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." And we're going to be as Christians living in the world. We live in the world. In my mind, if it was up to me, I would work with only Christians. But I have to work with worldly people that are crazy. And I try not to get sucked into the world. You know, I kind of get where people want to live in utopia, and, you know, but that's not reality. You know, living in a commune with only Christians only, that'd be beautiful if I never had to worry about crazy people. But, you know, we're going to live together, but this passage is saying, and I can learn something from a non-Christian. I can learn something from anybody, whether it's positive or negative. I will learn something. But this right here is the fate of the wicked. And the wheat will be in the barn. We will be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, "Those minds the gods of this age has blinded, who does not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine on them." And the god of this age is Satan. He is real, and he will go after you. Study the word. Jesus didn't argue with the devil in the wilderness. He quoted scripture, and the devil left. It's so important to know the Bible, to go to church, get fed the word. I can remember Pastor James behind the pulpit one time, and he said, "Hopefully this isn't the only time you get fed the word behind the pulpit. And then till next week, you know, read your Bible, talk to other Christians, fellowship with other Christians, and you know, you should be your best preacher." Every individual, studying your Bible, knowing it. Because we're going to all pay a price one day. We're all going to pay a price. Christ is the light, and we're supposed to not be blinded by Satan. He's very deceitful and cunning, baffling, powerful. Christ is the true light, but we, as Christians, should carry the torch and give people hope that's in us. That's what we're supposed to do. It's a command. When you're hopping out of a plane and they say, make sure you pull a ripcord, that's just not a suggestion. That could save your life. It's the same thing. God didn't suggest things. They were commands. If you feel like it. Now, he was very clear on what he wanted. We're wrapping this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss. And this is the kicker, people. But himself will be saved. But himself will be saved, yet as through fire. The passage is very clear that it's for rewards. If you want rewards, you'll get rewards. Wild horses couldn't keep me away from church. Wild horses couldn't keep me away from reading my Bible. They have these, what's your favorite book, but you can't say the Bible. It's the Bible. If my house was burning, I would try to save my animals, and I would grab a Bible. There's quite a few of them. But that's where I'm at in my life. We have a loving God. There's absolutely no doubt about that. He's all loving. He's all powerful. And this comes from the gospel. And this will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. God is love, absolutely, but he is also a just God. And we will all pay a price, and we will all reap what we sow. It's not all fluffy bunnies telling people what they want to hear, but telling people the gospel truth is a little bit more difficult. This is the job of the person that is behind the pulpit, is supposed to tell people the truth, not just make them feel good and walk out of here. So with that, you have a lot to chew on. We're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to go into communion. Holy Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come into your church, your building, Lord God. May your word be heard with gladness. May it touch people's hearts. May it pierce the hearts. May people pause. And just walk with you, Lord, and not in this world that we live in. May we be grateful. May we be thankful that we are afforded the privileges of being an openly worship you, Lord, and not be in fear of reprisals. May we just always be diligent to seek you early and often, Lord. As Christians, may we be light bearers to your truth, Lord, your word. And all this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.